Welcome to the Gas Street Podcast. Our vision as a church is to be light for the city.
We really hope you enjoy this message.
Okay, well, good evening, everybody. How are we doing? We doing good? Kind of, a little bit. I know we already did this earlier, but I also just wanted to honor the fathers in the room. I'm grateful for my own father. I'm grateful for those who've been like spiritual fathers. And so just want to say that we honor you. We hope you feel celebrated, loved, and that we actually need more spiritual fathers in this community. So get alongside someone and father them. Okay, so we have a new series, as the guy said, starting tonight. Wow. It's called Real Relationships, and we're looking at our relationships across the board. So our friendships, our families, our work colleagues, and also our romantic relationships. And we're doing this because we were designed by God to live in community with one another, that we are not meant to do life on our own in isolation. And we're doing this series because our relationships can be pretty difficult at times. Sometimes they can be shallow or awkward or messy, but God designed them to be rich and full, that would have moments of joy and life. We're also doing this series because culture often distorts our relationships. They're based on self-centered or superficial or conditional love. And we're also doing this because we don't always love each other very well. So the Bible is full of truth and wisdom for us on how we navigate living together. How do we do that in a healthy way? And so over the next few weeks, we're going to look at forgiveness, longevity, hard conversations, and many others. I can't remember. And also, I want to say that the espresso I took earlier is kind of wearing off, so this could be an incredibly short message. But tonight, on Father's Day, how fitting that we would explore this topic. And I want to explore this evening the fact that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us. And that's pretty much it. That's what I get after tonight. That before we look at loving our friends, our family, or romantic relationships, first we have to let God love us. That is the most important thing, that we need God's love first. That we need God's love in order to reflect love in our relationships. That the measure that we receive that love is the measure that we will give it. And so I just want to ask you tonight, would you have an open heart? Sometimes when we talk about this stuff, you can be a little guarded or it can be uncomfortable. It might not be your thing, but can we have an open heart tonight? Can we go together? Yeah, I'm going to lead us down a path. We might get lost, but at least we'll be together. Open heart. So anyway, let me pray and then we'll get stuck in. And Lord, I just thank you just for even the time in worship, just for your presence in the room. Thank you that you're already here, that you're closer than our skin, that you know everything that we walked into this room with, all the stuff that's on our heart, all the stuff that's in our head. And you said, come, all who are weak and heavy laden, you will give them rest. And so we just pray, or I just pray that tonight would be like refreshment to our souls, that we would discover the rest that you have for us. Amen. Okay, let's turn our Bibles, 1 John 4, 7 to 21. And this is by the Apostle John. I want you to imagine, as we're reading this, imagine like someone in their 70s or 80s. So this is an elderly man writing this letter to you. So just kind of have that bit of a mental image. Are we ready? Okay, verse 7, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us, that he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates their brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and their sister. Amen. Amen. So John is just reminding us in this passage that love doesn't start with us, it starts with God. That God doesn't just love, he is love. That if we are born of God, then we too are loved. And John in this passage says we got to know and rely on that truth. Rely on the love that God has for us. And we know that when we can rely on that, because we know that Jesus came as a demonstration of that love. Right? The power of God in Jesus. That Jesus came to be the sacrifice for our sins. That in love, God sent Jesus. And Jesus took on all that our body could not. He took on the cross. He took on our sin, our condemnation, our guilt, our shame. Everything that we should have paid for, Jesus paid for it. Jesus took the punishment our sins deserved. That his sacrifice turned away the judgment we would have received. And because of this, we have a new identity. We're born again, a new creation, washed by the blood, filled with the Spirit. We are dead to sin and alive to God. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? Like, that should do something in us. Like, this identity in us, like, that should make you smile. Like, your sins have been paid for. That should make us smile. Like, that should do something in us. This identity, this taking what he's saying, that we are loved by God, recognizing what Jesus done, that should make us smile. That should provoke us in a way. It makes me happy that I'm washed by the blood. There's no record of my wrongs. And I think claiming that truth is actually one of the biggest challenges that we have. To claim the truth that we are loved by God. Because so often in our life, we turn to our friends, our family, maybe it's your husband or wife or your teachers, and we try and draw on a love that should only have come from God. You and I were created with a heart that can only be satisfied by God. Psalm 139 says we were knit together in our mother's womb, that he created us in a way, he designed us in a way that only he could fully satisfy us. And so we wrestle with this truth of who we are, because sometimes we just go and we try and find it in other places. And I also think we struggle with it because we have this question that kind of follows us along the way. And the question I think we struggle with is like, who am I? In our teenage years, that looks like, what I want to do. Like, what are my interests? Who are my friends? In our early 20s, we might have a qualification or a degree, but not necessarily a career. We might have something like we have studied, but not necessarily a dream to pursue. The question, who am I, comes up in our late 40s or 50s, and we say it's the midlife crisis, where it's like, do I still really want to do what I'm doing? Am I enjoying life? Is it what I thought it would be? And then we also have it when we retire, when we have got more to look back on than we do to look forward to. Yeah? And so we have this question, who am I, that keeps coming around. And I think we try and answer it in a few different ways. The first one is, I am what I do.
If I do really good at something, if I do well at a task at work, or if I do well at an interview, then I start to feel really good. Now, if I fail the job interview or I fail the task, what happens? You start to feel low and sad. It might be you're trying to answer that with, I am what I have. So if you have a nice house, a nice car, a nice family, then everything is good. Like, you're feeling pretty blessed. But as soon as you lose someone, you lose the car, you lose the house, you start to feel low and depressed. And the other one is, I am what other people say I am. And when someone says you feel, or when someone says you are loved and you're amazing, you walk around a little bit lighter, you've got a smile on your face. But as soon as someone speaks behind your back or brings accusation against you or brings corrections, suddenly you feel sad. It changes us. It affects who we are. When life's good, we feel great. When life's hard, we spiral. And I want to tell you tonight that that's not how we're supposed to live. We're not supposed to live up and down. Like, before anything else, before we try and find our identity in what we do, what we have, what people say, we are loved. That is our first identity. That is our primary identity. It's that simple. And you're going to get frustrated at me tonight because that's all we're going to talk about. It is that simple, that before anything else, I am first loved by God. That God is love and we are from God. This book, Abba's Child, how many of you have read this book? Anyone? A few? This book changed my life. I can say that with 100% authenticity. In my early 20s, I read this book and it shifted everything for me in terms of how I saw myself, who I thought God was. And Brennan Manning, the author of this book, has this quote. And Brennan says, define yourself radically as one beloved by God. This is your true self. Every other identity is an illusion. Every other identity is an illusion. So claiming that first love of who we are sets us free. No longer are we people searching for our identity in what we have and what we do and what people say, or searching for identity in other people. We claim that truth, and that actually changes us. No, it doesn't just change us, but it also changes how we treat other people. So first we receive that love, and then we give that love. We receive it, it changes us, and we also give it, and it's changed. Verse 11 says, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. So we were designed to reflect God's love. And we can only do that when we're secure in him. When we've experienced it for ourselves. That real love doesn't just come from trying harder, from like working it up in us, but it comes from a place of being deeply loved by God. I think it's funny that Christians are the only creation that tries to be something. Like, a tree is just a tree. It doesn't have to try. Yet as Christians, we have to keep trying. Like, we have something in us. It's like, I have to do this. I have to try harder. And when we take time to claim that truth, we are naturally going to give love how God designed it. Yeah? That as we receive that love, we're transformed. We are changed. And it changes how we then give love. And I want to give you an example of that. And I'm going to get real with you guys. This is not the biggest story in my life, but it is a recent story. And it's embarrassing and it's exposing. So over the past year or so, I've started to pick up running again. And I have loved running. And as part of this, me and a couple of friends would go on runs. So maybe every couple of weeks, we would head out. We would run together. And recently, my friends went running without me. I was expecting a bit more of a like gasp or shocking. That's shocking. Our friends who we were running together with suddenly started running without me. Now, the first time that this happened, I was kind of like, yeah, cool. Maybe it was spontaneous. Like, that's fine. Like, it's okay. The second time it happened, I was like, okay, I've got a bit of FOMO here. Like, what's going on? like it irritated me a little bit. And the third time it happened, like I was just mad. Like I was angry, I was bitter, I was jealous. Like this thing just came out of me. Like I didn't really quite understand why. But that week, so this was the third time it happened, and that week, that little decision, that little thought, like actually snowballed into something pretty big. And so I found myself that week, like most nights before I go to bed, thinking, like, what's going on here? Like, am I not good enough? I mean, I was running further than they were, so take that for what it's worth. Am I not good enough? Like, is it a physical thing? Am I ruining the vibe? Like, are they like getting closer together without me? And right now, like it sounds pretty stupid, but those were like real felt emotions. Like they got to me. Like I would be lying in my bed thinking, why am I not a part of that? And so this thing in me, like this jealousy, this envy, this bitterness, just like crept up. And instead of like just airing the thought, I was actually just withdrawing. So I was like, I don't want to really approach this. And I got to the stage where it was a Sunday morning and I was about to head out on a run alone. And just as I was about to, it started to rain. And so instead of like going in the rain, I was like, I'm just going to take a couple of minutes to sit. And I sat on the sofa and I just began to say to God, I was like, hey, God, what is going on here? Like, why have I let this thing become something that's like hurting me so much? Like, why is it on endless loop? Like, why is it getting to me in this way? And as I sat there, I didn't really pray that much, but as I sat there, I just felt like the Lord said to me, hey, this is not like the other times. And he started to show me just different points in my life where I'd been rejected or I'd been forgotten about. And he said, it's not like this time. And in this moment, he then showed me all the times that my friends had shown love to me, all the times that encouraged me, all the times they've pulled through. And so in this moment, my heart is just melting. Like where I was bitter and envious and jealous, suddenly I was like, no, I actually feel really loved right now. And there was this moment where I didn't actually really need to do anything, but in that moment of just first receiving love, it meant then I had a different perspective. Like nothing had changed externally. Like I didn't go on the run, right? Like nothing changed externally, but internally, everything changed. And so I went for my run. I texted my friend. I said, hey, are you in? Like, can we chat? And I just said, hey, I need you to help me right now. Like, I need you to help me get out of my flesh in this. I need you to help me get over what it is. And if I hadn't taken that moment to sit before God, I don't know if I'd still feel the same. Like, it was that moment. I couldn't have got that from anyone else. Like, that had to come from God, where he knew me. Like, he gave me such specific pictures and such specific things that really melted my heart. And so we got to create space in our lives for those little moments, because they change how we give love. Those things expose where we're trying to get our needs met. And maybe in your story, it's not your friends, but it's actually God that you're bitter at. Like you feel like God's doing something with everyone else and not you. Now, the reality is that those who are closest to us, those who love us the most, are actually the ones that are going to hurt us the most. That love and wounds are never separated. But the truth for us tonight is before anyone else loved us, God loved us. God loves you way more than your friends or your family do. And he loves your family and your friends and your work colleagues way more than you do. And as we sit and receive that love, he will show you how to love them better. When we receive his love, we're confident. Like I was able to step forward in that because I had caught a glimpse again of who I am. And my perspective was different. I love that in the passage, verse 18, it says, there is no fear in love, that we are changed as we rest in his love, that being secure in him gives us grace for other people. It'll show up in our relationships. And when we're not operating out of that place, when we're not operating out of a place of being loved by God, I think it shows up in our attitudes and our behaviors. And I want to give you some indicators tonight that we have forgotten who we are. And before we put the list up, I just want to say that there's nothing wrong with you in this. Like, we've got our identity, okay? So we're a new creation. We're washed by the blood. We're loved by God. And so when these things show up in us, it's just a case of we have forgotten who we are. Are we ready for them? Okay, can we have the list? Okay, the first one is striving for approval. So you keep saying yes to things when you're exhausted. Or you might avoid speaking up at work or a social setting because you don't want to upset anyone. It might be that you're posting on socials hoping for loads of likes or people would, you know, be impressed by you. But, you know, when the response is lukewarm, you feel a bit low. The second one is jealousy of other people's success or connection. When someone gets promoted at work, this thing comes up in you. You've worked harder. You deserve it more. You might resent it when someone's more popular than you or has more friends than you. You might feel bitter when someone posts a picture of a new child or an engagement or a new job. You might feel cynical when someone steps out in faith, goes after a dream, and might do something in you. You might get cynical about it, withdrawn from people. You stop replying to messages or avoid social settings when it feels hard. Whenever someone else feels like it's they're being a little bit distant, you mirror that activity. You begin to pull back. You avoid vulnerability in your conversations that you're always trying to edit yourself or bring a edited version to the table. It might be that you're holding bitterness and unforgiveness, that you're replaying these old conversations in your mind, hoping that it would be different, like imagining what you would have said. Or you're avoiding people because of tension, like months, like years after it's happened. It might be that you're keeping a record of wrongs and using it as ammo against someone. The fifth one is being overly judgmental and critical. That you might make judgments about someone's appearance or their success. It might be that you're really quick to gossip or mock someone. You might nitpick your friend's decisions or flaws uninvited. Six, always have to be in control. That you get anxious when the plans change or when people behave differently than you expected. You micromanage projects, that's me, you micromanage projects or relationships to keep things safe. No one else can do it like you do. Number seven is avoiding your own pain or insecurities. That you stay busy with work, doom scrolling, playing games to avoid dealing with what's really going on in your heart. You focus on fixing everybody else except yourself. You struggle to ask for help. Now, what do we know about love? We know that love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. I think we're comfortable with this passage for a wedding, but nowhere else. Like, we applaud it at that ceremony, but we fail to apply it in every other relationship. And so I want to remind you tonight that when you're tempted to become bitter, envious, jealous, you just need a reminder of who you are. Yeah? When those things come up, there is nothing wrong with you. You're a new creation. You just need reminded of that fact, that you got to go back to that first love, that by God you're seen, you're known, you're loved, and you're held. And I think there's this image that I've got, I think just shows this beautifully. Can we have it? This is how God loves you. Just take that in. God's looking a little bit French there, but just take that in. Like, look at the little smile on his face. So every time you're tempted to get bitter or jealous, just I want you to imagine that. Like, you are that. This is how God loves you. I've actually put it as my phone background. Every time I'm tempted to forget who I am, this is who I am. Like, God knows everything that's going on in our hearts and in our heads. And this truth that your love needs to be in here. It's not enough to know it here. It needs to be here. You're that. So let God love you. God's love is not earned. It's not seasonal. It's not dependent. That reflecting love starts with receiving it. And our neediness to be like that is not seasonal. That you actually need that every single day. Our neediness for God is not just for a specific time in our life or when something specific is happening, but our neediness for God is daily. Like, it's not enough that you would hear this tonight. It's not enough that you would get it from a podcast or a book or a worship set. Like, they're all supplemental. They're all extras. You need that moment of a daily beholding, receiving who you are, receiving God's love for you. That is a daily thing. That's the only thing that's going to sustain us. That we need to create space in our week, space in our lives, just to sit before him. Just before I went on that run, I just sat. I didn't really have anything, no agenda. And as I just sat, that's where he began to pour out his love on me. That's where he began to change me. I couldn't have got that moment from anyone else, where we just have those moments where we let him remind us who we are. Like, that'll put a smile on our face. And I want to create space tonight to do that. And Doves, if you're close, come and play for us. And I just want to create space tonight to really let God love you, to hear that voice for yourself. That this space, like, this is open tonight. And I would love to invite you, if you can't remember when the last time you just sat before God was, I want you to do that tonight. Like, again, there's no shade in this. There's no shame in it. Like, there's nothing wrong with us. We just need reminded. And so in a sec, whenever the music comes, there it is. I just want to invite you to come and sit and just let God remind you of who you are. You recognize tonight that he's already taken a step towards you. You just need to take a step towards him. He's already there. He's already here tonight.
Thanks for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out.
If you want to find out more, visit our website, gastreet.org, or follow us on Instagram @gastreetchurch.